Information America's farmers and ranchers need to know. Adams on Agriculture. Now, back to Mike Adams.
We're joined now by Paul Bleiberg, Vice President, Government Relations for the National Milk Producers Federation. Paul, good to talk with you again. We have these competing bills now in Congress, the House $3 trillion bill and the Senate $1 trillion bill. From a dairy perspective, which one do you like more?
Well, thanks, Mike, for having me on. It's good to be here. You know, the two bills, as you know, have some major differences in them, not just relating to agriculture, but across the board. There are quite a few major issues to be resolved. The House-passed HEROES Act has some very beneficial provisions for dairy. It, of course, sets up another round of direct payments to reflect quarter two losses. And importantly, those payments, you know, they don't prescribe payment limits attached to them in the statute, which is very good. There's also a very good framework there around dairy donation that we can work with, as well as some enhancements related to the dairy margin coverage program, and of course the needed increase in SNAP given the situation that we're in right now in the pandemic. The Senate proposal has, you know, the funding in there for another round of, another round of direct payments. It doesn't have nearly as many specifications around it, so it's less clear what would happen if that language would become law. You know, I think from our view, what we want to see is, you know, another round of payments that reflect the losses producers have faced that are fair to farmers of all sizes, which you said before, in addition to, you know, in relation to things like payment limits, if farms of all sizes have faced these major losses. And so it's really important to us that you have a payment system that reflects that. And also, frankly, that's fair to farmers of all different operational structures. That may be something we don't hear about as much, but a lot of dairies around the country that are structured differently, incorporated differently, and we want to make sure that if two dairies are right next to each other and experience the same losses, that one is not unfairly, you know, penalized by the program on account of how they're set up relative to another one. So that's a very granular topic we're trying to work on. So those are the priorities we'd like to see on direct payments. Obviously, we'd like to see dairy donation included, the BMC enhancements, as well as the nutrition increase. So, you know, I think the House package obviously lays out much more of that and has a lot of the specifics that are there for dairy. The Senate package, I look at it as sort of a work in progress right now. I think, you know, we are hopeful that a lot of these dairy items will come into the conversation as the negotiations really kick up in earnest. And, you know, obviously it remains to be seen where a lot of this gets sorted out. And I imagine the nutrition piece will be discussed quite a bit as well. I've seen some comments already from some Senate Republicans indicating that they're open to considering something there. So I think we're hopeful that that's in play, too.
Yeah, yesterday when we talked with Nick Giordano with the National Pork Producers Council, he was kind of saying the same thing as far as he wanted more details, more structure about how the money would actually go out than what the Senate bill is calling for. And he made this point, and I would agree. I would think even USDA would want more structure, and guidance on how to get that money out.
You would think so. Obviously, it certainly makes the work easier if you lay out the parameters up front. And I think that's what's so important to us about the HEROES Act is that it, you know, you could tweak individual pieces of it as you go, but it has a direct payment program spelled out. It has a dairy donation program. It has other pieces in there that are very important. And I think in a situation like this where you have so many problems across the entire economy, you really want to look carefully at what the needs are and make them clear. And I think the House package does a nice job of doing that. You know, we can keep talking about some of the nitty-gritty issues around payments that we want to resolve, but I think their framework is very strong. You know, the Senate package, like I said, it's only been out for a few days, and it's very general as it relates to ag. I think our hope there is that some of these specifics will really come into play.
We're talking with Paul Bleiberg with the National Milk Producers Federation. Yesterday, Paul, when I talked with Richard Fordyce, FSA Administrator, about the fact that only $6.5 billion of the $16 billion of CFAP money has gone out. And he said he feels that producers are busy with some other things that may slow the application process. But Nick Giordano with the pork producers said from a pork industry perspective, he pointed more to cumbersome restrictions and challenges to get the application in and get approved and all that. So he pointed more to the process. From a dairy perspective, what are your thoughts on how CFAP is going as far as getting the assistance out to dairy producers?
That's a good question. I think, you know, we've gotten some positive feedback in a lot of different parts of the country about the payments. I think we have heard a number of states with FSA delays on the ground, and that, you know, that may be a function of just the process playing out and a lot of people applying at one time and all of that has to sort itself out. And then, of course, there may be some elements here of either the payment limitations or business structure issues, like I mentioned earlier, coming into play. And, of course, that may not have an impact on the number of people signing up, but it could have an impact on how much any one operation or any one person gets. And so if you kind of add that into the mix, there could be some residual impact there.
Is CFAP helping dairy producers?
Yeah, I think it's provided very important help in a time like this. And, you know, the year was shaping up to be one of the better year, probably the best year since 2014, because we've had five really difficult years. And then, you know, in the first quarter when the pandemic hit, that outlook changed, obviously. And while there's been some improvement in the, you know, on account of changes in the more recent weeks, you know, that may not necessarily hold. And so it is very important that we have that payment that's been going out. And that's what I say, it's also very important that this next round of payments, however it ends up being structured, continue to reflect the actual losses producers have faced. The HEROES Act spelled out that the next round of payments should be based on quarter two losses, and that's really important because certainly for us, that first half of quarter two, April and much of May, was very, very difficult. You had a lot of milk being dumped in different parts of the country, and you know, there's been some adjustments since then, but to account for that is still really important.
Huge debate across the country about reopening schools this fall for in-person learning and whether it's safe to do that, or, you know, various hybrid models that are being discussed and things like that. That has one of the many aspects of that is the impact it would have on your industry. I mean, if kids aren't back in school and there aren't the school lunch programs and things going again, that certainly impacts dairy, doesn't it?
There'd be some impact. I think we have seen, though, Mike, that over the course of the previous months when the schools closed down in the latter part of the previous school year, you know, milk was still being offered with every meal, even in the cases where the kids had to get it off-site or whatever, and there was some flexibility that USDA put in to allow shelf-stable milk and things like that. So obviously, there, you know, there could always be some impact there, but I think with some of the COVID-specific waivers that have been put in place, you know, every effort certainly being made, and I know Congress is very sensitive to this too, to make sure that kids are still getting milk with meals when they're getting them. So, you know, I think you have to find that balance with safety, obviously, given all the concerns that are very real concerns about people being together in close quarters right now. Yeah.
The Secretary Perdue has talked a lot about the food box program and the food that's gone out through that to people in need. How has much of a part has dairy played in that?
So dairy has certainly been, you know, a component of that program. I think in some cases there hasn't been as much as many bids is the right term on dairy as we might have hoped, and I'm not sure if that's because of program specifications or what exactly. I think there's certainly been some positive from the program. I think we're generally favorable to any approach to product purchases and getting, you know, products into the hands of people that will consume them. And again, that's why I mentioned the, you know, the SNAP increase earlier, because that's a very effective and proven way to do that as well. So I think, you know, the program, the food box program, has worked in some ways, and I think we're hopeful that it gets, you know, that it'll get this third round of funding that they've talked about for September and October, and that seems to be on track based on what we've seen in the last number of days here. But, you know, in some states, I think we've heard some concerns with how, you know, different bids have been received and things like that. So I think we want to make sure that concerns like that are resolved as we go into the last tranche of the program, I guess.
All right, so by all accounts, members of Congress are far apart. The two sides are far apart on this next package, but it would seem they'll come up with something, trying to find that sweet spot in the middle, some kind of a compromise. From a dairy industry perspective, what will your approach be in talking with both sides and trying to get something worked out?
Well, you know, as I said earlier, Mike, our focus here is trying to get the most effective you know, additional round of direct payments that we can get, kind of based on the different, you know, points around reflecting losses producers have faced, being fair to farmers of all sizes, fair to farmers of different, you know, ownership structures, also trying to work out something on dairy donation, and of course, you know, supportive of the different items that were in the HEROES Act as well, on the kind of related to the dairy margin coverage, and then there's the nutrition piece, and some enhancements around the Paycheck Protection Program that we think are important. So I think we're going to continue talking about all of those items. Like I said, the HEROES Act has a lot of them already there. The Senate proposal is obviously a lot less specific right now, so I think our hope is that as these negotiations continue, and I realize that what happens on ag may be subject to what happens initially on these much broader items that need to be worked out, that we'll be able to find a good path forward.
Yes, so you'll be talking with members on both sides of the aisle to try to get that worked out. Paul, thank you for the update, and we'll see what they come up with. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Paul Blyberg, Vice President, Government Relations for the National Milk Producers Federation. The ethanol industry will be talking with members of Congress, too, to be part of this next package. We'll talk with Jeff Cooper with the Renewable Fuels Association next.